Everybody is doing well on a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. It is so good to see you here. Look around, give somebody a wave saying, hey, I really am glad that you're here. Smile at them too. That helps. You know, the world don't seem to smile a whole lot now, but I remember growing up, remember romper room, the lady had the mirror. You know, I see Mark and I see him looking around all those folks. It is so good to see you guys here today. If you are part of our online audience, again, we welcome you to Central Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you have chosen to join us. As always, if you're on a part of our online audience, you have any questions, concerns, you can ask Dr. Cazito. We're so grateful for him. He is sitting right here in this room, but he is your voice online right here in Central Baptist Church, and he kind of keeps you posted and updated with what's taking place and with what's going on. Now, today is a special day in the life of not only Central Baptist Church, but in the lives of the good old United States of America and even points beyond that. But today is a day that we say a very happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there and your responsibilities that you keep up with. Family dynamics are different in this day and age. Doesn't make them always right, but I will say that they're different. But one of the things we want to do today is to take just a moment. If you are in this place, it doesn't matter if you are a church member, if you are a dad, will you do me a favor? Would you please stand with us? All dads, don't be shy. I know there's more than one in here. There we go. Everybody's always waiting on somebody else. As always, we just have a little gift of appreciation. We have a little gift of appreciation for you guys just to say how much we love you, how much we appreciate you. Once you get your gift, you can have a seat, and that way we'll know who we've covered and who we haven't covered. But as always, we are so glad for your heart, for your ministry, for your opportunity within your family to be able to train them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Now, as they continue to pass out the gifts, I got some sugar. As they continue to pass out the gifts, I also want to remind us that today is a hard day. Today is a difficult day for a lot of people. There are a lot of folks who today brings a lot of tears. There are a lot of folks that throughout today will probably make a pilgrimage to a cemetery to pay honor to their fathers that are no longer with us. They have gone on home to be with the Lord, and it makes today somewhat of a difficult day for a lot of people. So I want us to keep that in mind as well. As we celebrate, as we should, we also need to remember. I'd say that there was a lot of folks in this room that were just standing up who probably have that same heart. You know, you're saying happy Father's Day to Dad in heaven. So we want to remember those dads because you continue to carry on and you continue to lead the legacy that that they have left behind with you. So, dads, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to learn a little bit more about that in the Word today. But for right now, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our service time together today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful, we're thankful that we can come into your house. And Lord, just the peace and the serenity of being with God's people, being like-minded believers in Jesus Christ is such a tremendous feeling. Lord, we realize that there's nothing magical about brick and mortar or a particular place other than the fact that when you are there, it makes it holy ground. So today, as we have gathered together, this is holy ground because you are here. And today, Lord, you have a word you want to speak into each and every one of our lives. And I pray, Father, that we truly would be receptive for it. Father, we realize these are busy days and busy times for many, many people. And Lord, that continues on in our society today. And sometimes it's hard to step back. Sometimes it's difficult to be able to take that break and to take that deep breath. And Lord, to just surround ourselves with every bit of who you are. Father, today I pray that you will help us to do that, at least for these few moments that we are gathered here in this place today. Lord, would you just help us to put aside the cares of the day, Lord, the concerns that we have in our hearts and our minds, that we might truly tune in our heart to hear what you have to say to us on this very day. And then, Lord, I pray that if action needs to be taken, you give us courage by which to do so. So, Lord, we're asking in a special way that you would bless our time as only you can. And, Lord, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join me as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh,
As we sing number 10, How Great Thou Art.
It's always good to be back in the pulpit, as the old boy would say. As this past week, I attended the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, Texas. And everything is bigger in Dallas, and everything is hotter in Dallas. Mid-90s, high humidity. What joy filled my soul to step off of the airplane into that. You just sweat all the time. But nonetheless, had a good convention, as always. I do have some, I guess you would say, some bulletin summaries, as it were. So if anybody would like to see those, which includes pretty much over the 2 days of motions made and how those things went, I will be more than happy to send you that summary if you will just let me know, and I'll email that to you. If you don't have email, we will get you a copy of that through the church office, so that way you could be caught up on all the things through the Southern Baptist Convention. I think one of the highlights of the convention was the fact that they commissioned 58 new missionaries through International Mission Board, and had that time to be able to meet them and to celebrate with them along the way. And what a joy that was. But at any rate, we'll save that for another day. Actually, for today, we're going to be looking at passages of Scripture that come out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. That's Ephesians chapter 6. As you find that, I know that you had the opportunity to be blessed by Barry Owen preaching last week in my absence. And Barry mentioned to you, I believe, that he was going to be having surgery on Wednesday. He did have his knee replaced on Wednesday. Had a few little hiccups there in the early going, but he is doing well. He is in recovery mode. And we appreciate you praying for him and continue to pray for him about his recovery. So today, as we gather together, you know, on Father's Day, we recognize and we celebrate the pivotal role that that fathers play in our lives. And as we honor our earthly fathers, we're also reminded of the perfect love and the guidance that we receive from our Heavenly Father. And I want to point out these particular passages that come out of Ephesians chapter 6. And we're actually going to be looking at the first four verses. I wanted to cut it down specifically to hone in on two verses, and for a couple of reasons. First of all, I didn't get to preach last week, and a lot of times I get a little carried away when I first get back. So I'm going to try to keep this within reason so you can go and celebrate with Dad. But Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would open our heart. Lord, we ask that you would open our minds, that we might be receptive to what it is that you want us to hear and to understand today. Lord, what a true blessing it is to be able to have the title of Father. Lord, I think of the many out there today who would love to be a father, but for whatever reason, they can't. They have not been able to have that title of Father. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort their hearts today along the way. And Lord, I pray that today would not be just a terrible day in their life, but Father, that they might truly celebrate fatherhood. Lord, they had a father, hopefully and prayerfully. It was one that taught them well and nurtured them in the Word of God. And Lord, whatever the situations and whatever the circumstances may be today, I pray that you might be honored and that you might be glorified during this time. So Father, right now, bless us as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular passages that come out of the book of Ephesians, one of the things that we have to understand is a little bit about what the historical background. I've always said knowing about what things were like and going on can change about how you view or how you feel about certain and particular passages along the way. So the Apostle Paul actually wrote this book of Ephesians to the early Christian community in Ephesus. Now, that's something important to remember, the early Christians in Ephesus at that particular time. Now, what he was doing was he was providing encouragement as well as instruction to them, and he was focusing on unity as well as godly living. Now, I've said this before, and it wasn't any different back in that day. Unity is something that can often be difficult to find. Anytime you get a group of people together, you are going to have different opinions. And sometimes when you have different opinions, people begin to square off on one another. In all honesty, at this particular point in my life, I don't understand a few things. And somebody told me the reason I don't is because I'm getting older, okay? Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why we cannot agree. If we have a disagreement on some things, why is it that we feel like we have to hate one another? Why is it that we can't be unified in society today? Now, you've heard me say this before, and this is something that I also believe merits saying once again. When it comes down to necessities, okay, in necessities, we need to be unified. In the non-essentials, we need to be able to be diversified. Now, I could sit back and say, you know, if David said, I don't like barbecue, which is a lie, he does. But if David said, you know, I don't like barbecue and I like barbecue, that is a non-essential. You know, we should be able to get along. I shouldn't say, well, David, something's wrong with you, man. You're not from it. I can't talk to you anymore because we don't like barbecue. Why is it that when it comes down to non-essentials, we often have times and allow non-essentials to separate us and to divide us and to pull us apart? So what was going on in this particular passage was that unity is being preached, you know, as well as some of the things that we needed to know and understand. We need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement, don't they? I'm telling you, you go through life. Life in itself is going to try to beat you down. You know, it doesn't go well. And I just use this, you know, as an example. If somebody came up to me today and said, "Well, preacher, you know what? I was glad to be here on Father's Day because I got to see some people I hadn't seen in a while. But that was the worst message I've ever heard in my life." Yay, team! That's encouraging. That makes you want to jump right in there and do it again, doesn't it? Yeah. And sometimes we do these things. And there was somebody that I knew in life, let's just put it that way, that would just didn't have a filter. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And some of the things that would be said to other people, it was just like it just came right out, and they never even thought about what they were saying or what they were doing. And I'm like, yeah, you realize you just hurt that person's feelings or whatever. And well, no, I didn't do that. And I'm like, yes, you did. And even when a consensus was drawn, hey, you were here. Did you think I hurt that person's feelings? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we have to understand what it is that we are doing. And in this particular book, the design was to provide encouragement as well as instruction, focusing on unity as well as godly living. That is something that is paramount, not just back then, but in our society today. We need to have godly living. We call it all kinds of different things. The best term for it today is to be able to live a godly worldview or a biblical worldview. What does that mean? That means that what I do and how I function in life is based on what my belief about the Word of God is. This is my roadmap. This is what it is. So we should all, as believers, have a biblical worldview as we go forward. Why is that? Because your biblical worldview shapes what you do. It shapes what you say. Now, if you don't have a biblical worldview, here's something I want you to know and understand. You do have a worldview. Whether you like it or know about it or not, there is a lens by which you view society, by which you view everything, by which you view marriage and family and politics and life in general. You view life through some sort of a lens. As a believer, a biblical worldview is the best way to go forward. So here's why that's important. Because if you're living your life in a biblical worldview, it will influence the decisions that you make. It will influence the thoughts you have. It will influence what you do. This should be how we live life. Now, I believe that most of us are intelligent enough that on a day like today, like Father's Day, you can see where I'm going with this. We need to be living out a biblical worldview in the eyes of our children. We need to be living out a biblical worldview in our office place, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and wherever we go. That when people see us, and when people see our actions and our activities, they see that they are being based on a worldview that we hold forth and hold true and are willing or should be willing to die for. That's a biblical worldview. Sometimes people have other worldviews. There's a lot, trust me when I tell you, there are a lot of other worldviews. You see them and you function in them. But in this book, encouragement was one of the paramount things. Godliness and unity. And this passage is part of a section that is advising how household relationships should be operated, is the best way to say that, you know? Yeah, and the importance of honoring parents as a broader call to live in obedience to God. Now, I want us to look particularly at verses 2 and 3 of our text today. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You see, fathers play a critical role in shaping the character and the values of their children. Yeah, I can still remember growing up, there was always a person I wanted to be like, and guess who it was? It was my dad. There were a lot of heroes in my life, but here was my thing. They were heroes in my life for different reasons, but the ultimate hero in my life was my dad. You know why he was the ultimate hero in my life? Because he made sure that he lived out a biblical worldview in my presence. It wasn't just what dad said, it was what dad did. Now you can sit back and you can preach to your children all day about this is what you should do. But let me tell you, what makes all the difference in the world is then when you actually do that in their presence. Leading them by example. That is what we should do. You see, Dad, you play a critical role, or you should play a critical role in the shaping of the character and the values of your children. Today looks a lot different than it did back when I was a child, and surely when you did as well. I can still remember the days that even when I was younger growing up, when we had vacation Bible school, it was in the morning. It was from like 8 or 9 o'clock until about lunchtime. How many of y'all remember that? Oh, you're old like me. But you know why we could do that? Because most moms were stay-at-home moms. And they were actively involved in the church. And they could lead those vacation Bible school classes. And they could be a part of that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here preaching against working moms by any stretch of the imagination. But what I am saying is that dads, you are the ones who are responsible to take the lead in the rearing of your children. And you need to realize that God is going to hold you accountable for that. When you stand before Him on that day, He will look you in the eye and you will answer for the way that you have raised your children. Did you raise them in a biblical worldview? Did you raise them with biblical truths? Unfortunately, there will be a lot of children that won't be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. They will be rather standing at the great white throne of judgment. Prayerfully, that's not the way it is in your family. We sing that song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" Prayerfully not. If the Lord has put something on your heart today, listen, ask people. If you don't know, ask. I've said before, I am a simple little hillbilly boy, and if I need to know whether or not somebody is going to be in the kingdom of heaven, I simply ask. I had that privilege last week, or right before I left for the convention. One of concern. And the Lord lined it up perfect. I'm not going to tell you now. You'll hear it Thursday. But the Lord lined everything up perfect to know that when I walked out of that hospital room, this man was on his way to heaven. And he made that journey while I was gone. But I get to talk about him at his funeral this coming Thursday. I get to reassure his family that he is in heaven. I get to tell them about the conversation that we had. What a joy that is. Dads, let me tell you something. You have been given something very special and something very, very important that has eternal consequences if we don't do it right. You're going to have to stand in a world that does not like biblical things. They don't like that Jesus stuff. You are going to have to compete with the world when it comes down to your children. And you know what that sometimes means? That sometimes means that you do things the old-fashioned way. You know what the old-fashioned way is? This is how it's going to be. Y'all, how many of y'all grew up in a house that this is how it's going to be? Yeah. Now, a lot of people sit back and say, well, I just don't like that. I think that scares people off. I've shared with you before about the fact that I never saw Old Yeller die. I never saw the Wizard of Oz. I never saw any of that because it came on Sunday nights on television. And guess what time? Right about the time church started. So where was Roy? At church. Was Roy happy about it? No. Because it got even worse on Monday when every kid in my classes was out there talking about what they had watched on Disney. That was the days when you had three channels and you had to get up and go and turn them. Remember that? And they were all talking about it. And they looked at me and they said, well, what'd you think about it? I'm like, think about what? Well, did you cry when Old Yeller died? I said, nope. And then all of a sudden, well, I didn't want to tell them. They're like, well, are you heartless or something? I said, no. And they're like, well, why didn't you cry when Old Yeller died? I said, because I didn't know Old Yeller died. And by the way, who's Old Yeller? And then they got it. You didn't watch The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday night? No. Why not? Is something wrong with you? No. Well, why didn't you watch it? I was in hurt. Yeah, I don't want to tell them that. I don't want to be that square. But you know, I kind of liken that to y'all. And most of us have seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Remember that one? Remember when I guess it was Charlie bought the one candy bar? Yeah, everybody else was buying all these ones. And he just one. Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I was at church. I didn't get to watch The Wonderful World of Disney. But you know, here's something that's very interesting. Those times couldn't come back. Not on the biblical rearing. Not on the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But I will tell you this, that right now, as I preach this sermon, I can pick this thing up and I can watch Old Yeller die anytime I want to. I can watch The Wizard of Oz. I can see it all, but you would never get back the times and the influence of being raised by a biblical family with a biblical worldview. Mom and Dad, I want to tell you something. It is time that in our society today that we become parents first and we'll be friends later. That means that there are times when you have to play the heavy. There are times when you have to say no. There are times that you will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you will not be popular with your children when you make those decisions and when you make those choices. But let me make you one promise for sure. There is a 100% chance. Y'all know what that means, right? You know what 100% chance means? It's going to happen. There is a 100% chance that you will stand before the Master and answer for what you've done. There is a 100% chance that you will stand before the Master who has an expectation. Folks, let me tell you something. If you are a dad, if you are a mom, you have been blessed with a gift, but you have also been blessed with a responsibility. And it is time that we take that critical role, that we take it serious, and that we shape the characters and the values of our children based on a biblical worldview. Now, earthly fathers, while we are imperfect, we are tasked to emulate the love and the patience and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. We have been given one to follow by. Yeah, most of you, probably at some point along your way, when you were little, you said, I want to be just like my dad. Maybe that changed over the years or whatever, but at least at some point you said, I want to be like my dad. And you know what God the Father says? God the Father says, you know, that my children should want to be like me. How would God do this? You know, we run around back years ago, and I think maybe in some way still out there with the WWJD t-shirts and bracelets. Remember those? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would he react? Listen, think about those things when you have to make decisions regarding your children, and especially when they're not going to be popular decisions. What would Jesus do? If he could stand right there and tell you, and by the way, he does through his word, what would Jesus do? And you do the same thing. What would Jesus say? You do the same thing. But see, most of us, our filter has fallen off of our heart and our mouth at times. And it's just a straight line shot. I've said before that what's going to happen is the rewards are out of this world. The rewards for that will come later on. And you've often heard me say, do today what you'll be glad you did as you stand before the Father in heaven and answer for it. We need to try to emulate our Heavenly Father as earthly fathers. As we consider the responsibilities of fatherhood, we're reminded that honoring fathers aligns with God's commands. That's what we did today. What did the word say? It says, honor your father and mothers. So that's what we're doing today, dads. We want to honor you for the position that God has allowed you to be in, that somebody in this world would love to have been able to have stood up just a moment ago. They would have loved to have been, to have the title of father or dad or daddy or whichever one is most endearing term that you use. Because I know that there are some who still use the term daddy, even though they're grown adults, because that's what they did all the time. Because daddy is near and dear to them. You see, as we look at this passage, the command to honor fathers and mothers is not only about obedience, but it also reflects a heart of gratitude and recognition and the sacrifices that are made by parents. You know, I have watched parents make significant sacrifices for their children that their children never knew about and may never know about. But parents did these things for their children. In Proverbs 23:24, we read, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. And this verse emphasizes, you know, how a father's joy is connected to the righteousness and the wisdom of his children. And this talks about the deep bond and the impact that fathers have on their children. And do you realize that part of the reason why, you know, churches as well as families, as well as biblical orientations suffer today is because dads, we're not doing our jobs. We're not doing our jobs in the home, but we're really not doing our jobs in the church. And people all the time sit back and say, well, I don't like that over there because of women leaders in the church. You know, and you ask women leaders, I've asked them before, I said, why do you do this? And you know what the answer I get 9 times out of 10 is? Because the men won't. Folks, I believe with all my heart that wives and daughters are looking for good, godly leadership out of their husbands and out of their fathers. And that's not just within the family, but that transcends into the church. Be the leader that God has called you to be in your home as well as in your church. Because God called man to do just that. In practical terms, honoring our fathers can take on many forms. Okay? What are some of those forms? Showing respect to dads. Man, I'll tell you one thing. There have been some people, and I'm just going to say it because y'all know me and you love me and you'll put up with me. There's respect that needs to be shown to fathers, and there are some children that I think I'd have slapped the taste out of their mouth if I'd have said some of those things or treated my father that way, I would have got a timeout. I'm not talking about a timeout like you know. A timeout in my generation was how long it took me to come to after I had acted that way. Y'all, how many of y'all know my timeout? Hallelujah, my people. Respect. I have seen some of the most disrespectful children, not only to their parents, but to people around them, and their parents sit there and tolerate that. If I would have opened my mouth in that way, I would have been snatched up and I would have been whooped on the way to the bathroom. Then I'd have got it again in the bathroom. Then I'd have got it on my way back. You don't do that. That is not respect. That is not how you treat people. Are we showing respect to fathers? Children, are you showing respect to your dad? Are you expressing gratitude? You know what? It's a great thing if you've got a bed to sleep in, if you have food on the table, if you have shoes on your feet and a roof over your head, because there are people all over this world that would love to be in the position that you are in right now. And yet we see so much ingratitude between children and their parents. Do you provide support for them? Are you the one that goes up and, you know, and says, that, were you that child that would come up and just put their arms around you and just tell you they love you? That'd change your day, won't it? I mean, you could have had a bad day. You could have a bunch of worry or concern. And yes, I said that. And yes, I know worry is a sin, but we do it. And you could be concerned about something. But when you get home and that youngin just goes up there and gives you a big hug and looks you square in the eye and says, Daddy, I just want you to know I love you. That'll change your whole perspective. If it doesn't, listen, you need a checkup. It helps you understand why you do what you do. And it helps you to understand that there is appreciation for what you do. Listen, you know what, folks? I just want to tell you that not just between fathers and children and in families, but a little bit of appreciation to someone goes a long way. Just to be able to say, listen, I want you to know, I see that you're working hard and I appreciate what you do. I just want to thank you for, you know, exercising your talents and abilities, but I want you to know that it goes beyond that, that we appreciate that. Why is it that we wind up having to lose something before we appreciate it? Have you ever noticed that? I sat there and thought about that just a moment ago, you know. For a while, but it sure sounds different without the organ, doesn't it? Imagine if Vicky didn't play today and we had to sing O Acapella or Rockefeller or whatever you call it. I'm not saying that would be bad, but it surely would be different, wouldn't it? But you see, when you appreciate what you have, there are so many facets of what can happen after that. First of all, it makes a person want to do that even more. I like what a guy said one time. He said, how can we get rid of our preacher? And I like the answer. The guy said, well, you just pray for him. He said, because if you pray for him, then what'll happen is, church will grow and the largest church around will want him. He said, the second thing that you can do is you can say amen every now and then. Because if you do that, he'll probably preach himself into a heart attack and then you're done with him. So Show appreciation to your mom, to your dad. You know, listen, if your daddy is with you today, listen, if they're around, take them out to dinner. Take them out today. Tell them happy Father's Day, but do me a favor. Don't just do it on Father's Day. Make a habit of just going by and spending time with dad. Because one of these days, those opportunities will become memories. And you'll miss them. My dad is in heaven. He's having a great time. I know that. But I can't call him today. I don't get to tell him happy Father's Day. And a lot of you are in that same boat and you know that. Make the best of the time that God gives you with your dad. For fathers, this passage, it means striving to lead your families with integrity and with love and with commitment to guiding children towards God. Did you get that? To guiding children towards God. That is your sole responsibility as a father. Now, don't get me wrong. There is provision, you provide for your family, you love your family, but you realize that God expects you to point your children toward God, which is the most important, most incredible decision that they will ever make. Are the things we're doing pointing our children to Jesus, or is it pointing things to the world? Are we elevating things above God? The problem with that is that when we elevate anything above God, we make it a god. And commandment number one says what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And too many times we mess that up. Dads, are we leading our families with integrity and love and a commitment that we're going to point our children to Jesus? I can still remember times that my dad would come in from work because, you know, it wasn't just a punch the clock and get off the clock at this time. And coming back on a church, and he would pull in on a church evening, particularly on a Wednesday or something, and we would get in the vehicle and we would go to church. Him dirty from work, hadn't had a shower, hadn't had a meal, hadn't had anything else. And you know what? I'm grateful for that. Because it was one of those days when we were late and we sat in the back and we were sitting on this old couch behind the baptistry listening to the sermon. And that was the one where God called me to full-time Christian service when I was 15 years old. Oh, it would have been so easy to have said, well, I'm tired and hungry and I need a meal and, hey, that particular day. I said before, I had to leave to respond to the invitation. I had to go out of the church and come back around to the front, but I couldn't wait to get down there and tell the preacher that God had called me to full-time Christian service. That was a great deal. Now, the problem was a whole lot of people didn't take a lot of stock in my decision because I was 15 years old. I was 15. They're like, he don't know what he's talking about. Every little kid wants to be a fireman. Every little kid wants to be a police officer. So I guess this little kid wants to be a preacher. And so at almost 60, you know what I get to say? It's real now, ain't it? No, I don't do that. Not yet, I will. But dads, we have a challenge before us. We can look to our Heavenly Father as the ultimate example of love and of wisdom and what we should do. So this Father's Day, let us reflect on the important role of our fathers, and may we strive to honor our dads as God has commanded us to honor them. And in doing so, we contribute to fulfilling God's promises from His Word, the promises of well-being and longevity. That's a promise there. You don't have to believe me. Read it yourself. Where do you think Spock got live long and prosper from? Let's go back. Look at it. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. I didn't make that up. Y'all see that in print? Isn't that cool? So why don't we take this day, this moment, to appreciate and to deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father who exemplifies perfect fatherhood. You know, when people sit back all the time and say, you're supposed to be like Christ, and the truth of the matter is you can't. We're not capable of doing that, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try. That shouldn't mean that we don't try to be what it is that God wants us to be. Dads, I'm not trying to scare you today, but I think that when we look at the responsibility, we ought to have a little bit of fright, as it were, to realize that someday God is going to hold you accountable for the way you raised your children. God is going to hold you accountable for the fact of whether you did or did not point them toward Calvary's cross of Jesus. God is going to hold you accountable for all that you do. Now, I also, you know, read the passage. It says in verse 4, I didn't want to leave that out either. It says, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And what that's basically saying is don't do things that'll frustrate your children. Sometimes every one of us have seen it before where there's a parent or whatever that almost antagonizes their children. Teachers, you saw it. You've seen it with some of those parents, and you just want to wring their necks. And you're like, part of your kid's problem is you. Part of the reason why they feel beat down is because of you. We're supposed to encourage them. That doesn't mean we agree with what's wrong, but in a loving manner, we correct them. Discipline is part of God's marching orders as well. Discipline, obviously, should be employed, but it needs to be done in love. It needs to be done in a constructive way where it is designed to help elevate our children and point them toward the Master. I pray that for each and every one of us that we will have that opportunity, take that time today. And listen, if your dad is no longer with you and your dad is in heaven, you can wish him a happy Father's Day in prayer. And just say, hey, thank you, Dad, for taking the time to realize what was important to point me in the direction of what was important. Now, I will make you this promise, earthly dads. Maybe that's something you need to do today. I will promise you that Satan is going to make the world far more enticing. He's going to up the ante. And it's going to cost you something to do that. It is going to maybe cost you friends. It's maybe going to cost, but your children are going to love you. They may be mad at the decision that you make at the time, but later on, they're going to look back like I did. I was not happy when I couldn't watch The Wonderful World of Disney. But today, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my daddy realized that my relationship with the Father was more important than a movie. And you know what? It's just like that old situation. He said, you know what? He said, son, I love you. He said, and I'll be your friend. But he said, I'm going to be your dad first. And I think in our society today, we need some more people to stand up and be dad so that you can be friend later on. You can ask Blake. I brought him up the same way I was brought up. I didn't spare the rod nor spoil the child. And you know what I love about some things? Is that even on days that he has to work, on Sundays, he shows up here. Not because I make him. Not because I said, well, son, you better be there. But because that's the lifestyle that he grew up with.
He knows what is good. He knows what is right. And therefore, he chooses that. Train up a child in the ways that they should go. And when they are old, they won't part from it. Yep, I'm a proud dad. Am I a perfect dad? No. Did I do everything right? No. Did I do my best to honor the Lord? Yeah. Do I think so far it's turned out pretty good? By the grace of God, I do. Today, I pray that you will spend time with Dad if you can. I pray that you will spend time in prayer if you can. And I pray that you will know how blessed you are if you have had a godly father figure in your life. And listen, if you didn't grow up with a godly father figure, then it's time for you to break that generation after generation of not having a fatherhood in your home, and you can become that godly father. You can change what the future looks like with what you do right now. You know, when we think about this, I love the fact that when you think about children and when you think about parenthood, you think about all these things. Something that's very interesting is the fact that I love how God chose that to be the relationship, because it's something we can understand. What was it that Jesus said? Jesus said, man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, there was a question asked. It says, well, how can a man re-enter the womb and be born again? He said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually. When you trust Jesus, you become born again. We all heard that. We understand that, right? And what that means is spiritual DNA runs within you. God's DNA. You know, the same thing is I have my own unique DNA, but it came from my mother and my father. In other words, they could do genetic studies and say that I'm related to my mom and dad. Thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, when we are born again, God's DNA runs within us. It does. People have asked me all the time, they say, well, what if I turn my back on God? I said, let me just put it this way. I said, if I turned my back on my parents right now, does that make me any less their son? They said, no. I said, why not? They said, because their DNA runs within you. I said, exactly. And I said, the same thing holds true spiritually. I got God DNA. Not that I want to, by any stretch of the imagination, turn my back on him, but he is my father, and he expects me to be a son in accordance with his upbringing. How do we know what his upbringing is? He gives us the word. He gives us those disciplines. He gives us each other. How many of y'all had an older brother or sister that, significantly, maybe 4 or 5 years, okay? Did that brother or sister ever try to keep you in line, to keep you from doing something stupid? Sometimes they did it just because they wanted to push you around, but sometimes they did it because they genuinely cared. They wanted to help you out. They want to make sure you didn't get in trouble for something they may have already gotten in trouble for and knew what that circumstances or the outcome were. I've seen how brothers love one another. I've seen how they wanted to look after each other. And see, that's what the children of God is all about. That's what we're here today for. If you look around you as born-again believers, this is a family. This is a family meeting. And you are all part of the family of God through Christ, if you've trusted him. So my question today is, have you trusted him? Brad, you guys come on up, take your place as we prepare to have our time of invitation. It's not about all the things that people in society today think it's about. It's about whether or not you have said, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know that I need a Savior. And I know that if I took my last breath right now, I would spend eternity in hell because I've not trusted in Christ, and I want to change that today. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection that conquered sin, death, and hell. Thank you for the fact that I know I have a future in Christ. Have you done that? Listen, you can call on the Master right now, and I urge you, don't waste another moment by saying, Father, I'm a sinner. I confess that to you. I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross. Lord, forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you like one of your children should. Teach me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that if that was you today, that you will celebrate. We like newborn babies, don't we? Everybody likes babies. If you are spiritually born again today, you're a newborn baby, and we love you. We want to help you grow, and we want to celebrate you. Please let me know at our time of invitation. Please let me know if you're in this place. If not, please let Dr. Cazito know, and he'll let me know, and we'll celebrate with you if you're part of our online audience. Whatever the case may be, we want to celebrate with you. We're not going to, you know, try to put you in some kind of crazy thing. We just want to help you grow. Maybe we're here today and we've realized how many times we've messed up. We've realized how many times God's given us a second chance. And sometimes we find ourselves like Paul saying, Lord, why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I should do? Well, maybe it's just time to lay him at the altar, because he cleans the altar immediately. He'll cleanse your heart immediately. He will liberate you. He will give you peace, and he will use you. What is it that you need to do today to make it right with him? Now is the chance, as we stand to sing our invitation hymn, number 312 in your hymnal, Softly and Tenderly, as Brad comes to you. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you do business with God in these moments of prayer, as our invitation begins to come to an end, that doesn't mean that the leadership of the Lord in your heart or your life and what he's asking you to do is coming to an end. What it means is that he's saying, deal with it now. Don't let it get away from you. Don't let the conviction get away from you, specifically when you're in the midst of those who know you and love you. Those that want to see you be all God wants you to be. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, again, we're thankful for a time to worship you through returning the tithe and the offering. Lord, help us to understand that Lord, this is not about the fact that you need money from us, but this is about the fact that you want to see if we're obedient, that you might bless us on a greater level. So, Father, right now, I ask that you would bless this offering, the gift as well as the giver. And, Lord, may it be used for your honor and your glory as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. That was fantastic.
Just want to give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here today. Birthdays that we have coming up this week, this coming Thursday, Grace and Bailiff will celebrate a birthday. And then as far as anniversaries, Lisa and Kirk Gross will celebrate an anniversary tomorrow. So if you have that opportunity, be sure to pass around either a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. Just for today's schedule, remember we will not be having evening services tonight, so that you might be able to spend a little bit of extra time with Dad or Dodge Raindrops that I understand will be coming in later on this evening. But at any rate, we will not be having evening services tonight. There will be a band rehearsal at 7.
Actually,
I was just testing Jim to see if he was paying attention. There will not be band rehearsal tonight. He will let you know when the next one will be. Next week, next Sunday. He's let you know next Sunday, but not tonight. And I'm glad he passed that test. I was just seeing if he was paying attention. Anyway, Monday, tomorrow, there is a building and grounds meeting at 4:30 in the Family Life Center, as well as Steve Kelly's D group is tomorrow at 6 o'clock p.m., but we'll be meeting at Steve's house. If you don't know where Steve's house is, see Steve. There's Steve right there. I'm sure he's probably let you know. And I think they're going to be doing a little bit of fishing, a little bit of cooking out and all that stuff. And, you know, if you're interested in being a part of a D group, go fishing and eat a hamburger, and then we're going to wrap you into a D group, right? There you go. But grateful to have Steve back. He actually deployed to a disaster site in Maryland last week. Last week. He was up there doing chaplaincy work with North Carolina Baptist on mission up in Maryland as a request for North Carolina to back up the Maryland disaster response folks. And Steve was up there for that. So thank you, Steve, for your service. And then Kurt, which I don't see Kurt today, he just got back from Burnsville himself up there, again, Burnsville, North Carolina, doing some chainsaw work up there with Chainsaws for Christ. So keep in mind those things that are going on that we don't even think about. A couple of quick things. Ladies Connections, your next meeting is going to be on 8-6 at 4 o'clock p.m. So that's August the 6th at 4 p.m. But your next breakfast will be July the 10th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's over on Friendly. If you need any more information about that, you can talk to Mari. We want you to mark your calendars for the 28th of June, the 28th of this month. We will be having a spaghetti supper here. You'll hear a little bit more as we go forward on that. Is that correct? Yep, in a bulletin. Mark your calendars, be able to be here for a time of friendship and fellowship for that. Also want to remind you that there is the 4th of July celebration that's going to take place on the 5th starting at 2 p.m. They'll have hot dogs, apple pie, and music, and that will be right here in the Family Life Center. If you have questions about that, Jim can point you in the right direction. I just want to mention this, and then I'm going to let David mention Camp Carefree for you, but we have collected the baby bottles that you see up here. We passed those out just back before Mother's Day. Once again, we just ask that you, take your spare change or whatever, put in that. We collect that between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Today is Father's Day, so we're going to wrangle those together. If you have one of those bottles and you forgot it, don't worry. We'll still be able to get it in there for you. But we just want to let you know that we're kind of closing out that collection today so that we can get this to the Crisis Pregnancy Center to be used for ultrasounds for those young women who are considering abortion. I love the numbers that 90%+ of those who have an ultrasound that are considering an abortion, when they see this is a living child, opt for life. So what you're putting in those baby bottles goes directly for those ultrasounds and whatnot. So if you don't have it this week, that's fine. We will just get it on back to us, and we'll make sure that it gets in. We do have the Camp Caraway mission coming up. David, if you'll come up, share a little bit about that, and then close us out in a word of prayer, and I appreciate it. And guys, listen, happy Father's Day. I pray that y'all have a great day. If you have a father in heaven, wish him a happy Father's Day in heaven. If you have him here on earth, make sure you spend some time with him.
Before I say anything about Camp Carefree, let me just say one word about July the 5th. Band, you see where we're having band rehearsals and canceling them and having them, and on Sunday night after church at 7 o'clock. And that's preparation for that. We've got some preparation we want you to do in relationship to that concert and that celebration. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer this morning. I mean, if you can come to that, we would like for you to sign up and tell us how many people you're going to bring, so we know how many hot dogs and how many apple pies to bring. I'd hate to have to take 3 or 4 apple pies home with me because we bought too many. You know, that's a terrible thing you got to do. But Jim's doing a great job. We have our wind ensemble. We have some guest musicians coming from other churches playing with our group also. Good size wind ensemble and some other musical things taking place. Clear your calendar and come. It's a great way. There's nothing going on to compete with us here in Oak Ridge on July the 5th or the 4th for that matter. Camp Carefree, we start on Sunday night the 29th. We still do not know how many children we're going to be feeding. We probably won't know for sure until the week before, which is a little tricky because we can't get them to sign up. We just have to buy food, and we get to cook 3 meals every day for them. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. We have about 40 people who have signed up to go work at Camp Carefree this year at different times. So if we were all there at one time, we might equal how many kids are going to be there. Camp Carefree, I've said a word about it in the bulletin. It's a special camp for special needs children. The week that we have children with cancer and Down syndrome. And the whole goal for that camp is for a kid to be able to get away from home, away from mom and dad, away from siblings and be a normal kid for a week at camp and have a normal week. And it's a wonderful experience for them, and it is for us too. You pray for us. We're collecting money. Last year, we were surprised with the economy being what it was. It cost us about $1,000 more than it did the year before just for the food. We don't know what it's going to look like this year, but if God so leads you, please give to that. We have some money in our budget for that, but it won't cover more than likely what we need to cover that. We get to go that week, and their staff gets to take the week off. They don't have, when Camp Carefree is going on during the summer, they don't have a week that those people can get off. They are there three meals a day, and it's usually just a couple of people. It takes more of us to do it than it does them, but pray for us, pray for them, pray for these children, that they will see Jesus in us, and they'll have a desire to know who he is and to find someday to serve him the way we are serving him. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, we count it a great privilege to be here. Lord, we pray that you would help us honor our father and mother, Lord, that all our lives, even when they're not here, that we would do things that would bring honor and glory to their name. And Lord, as we think about doing that, help us always to live our lives in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name, our Heavenly Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.